Welcome to Water of the Word, the radio ministry of Pastor Steve Hadley of Harvest Family Fellowship in Reno. Join us today as Pastor Steve continues through a verse-by-verse study of the wonderful Old Testament book of 1 Kings. Old Testament pictures illustrate and model New Testament truths. Today, as we learn more about the foundational history of God's people and the nation of Israel, we'll also see that the people, the problems, and God's supernatural interventions are not so different from our lives today. With so many challenges coming against God's church and God's people, we need the right spiritual tools and biblical insights to stand firm and overcome. Pastor Steve's study in 1 Kings will show us some very practical tools that may be used powerfully in these last days. So come on along. May we all be refreshed and inspired as we are washed by the water of the Word.
1 Kings chapter 8, and let's skip down to verse 12. In Acts chapter 2, verse 42, the Bible says, "And they, the disciples, continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, teaching, in fellowship, the breaking of bread," which is communion, of course, worship, if you will, "and in prayers." And that's where we get our classic little saying we have around here, word, worship, prayer, and fellowship. And we're going to see this New Testament principle modeled by this powerful Old Testament picture. Now verse 12. "So Solomon spoke," this is the dedication of his temple. "The Lord said that he would dwell in the dark cloud." We looked at that last week. What that likely refers to, the Shekinah glory of God, this kabod that appeared to be as a cloud during the day and a pillar of fire at night. Not only was it a column, but it actually spread out over the top, and that Moses and the children of Israel, they camped underneath the shadow of his presence. It would appear by the wording that it happened again. It's been about 600 years since Moses and the sojourn through the desert. So the Shekinah glory suddenly igniting from the temple center and then spreading out very likely over the top. And there's Solomon saying, you know what? That's in the Bible. Right. 1 Corinthians 10 verse 1, where Paul describes that they lived under the Shekinah. Verse 13. "Lord, I have surely built you an exalted house and a place for you to dwell in forever." He's citing scripture. This is 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 13. He's being all word on us. "Then the king turned around and blessed the whole assembly of Israel, and while all the assembly of Israel was standing, and he said, 'Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, who spoke with his mouth to my father David.'" 1 Chronicles 29, verse 10, he's citing the word again. "And with his hand has fulfilled it. Since the day that I brought my people Israel out of Egypt, I have chosen no city from any tribe of Israel in which to build my house, but I have chosen David. Now it was in the heart of my father David to build a temple for the name of the Lord God of Israel. But the Lord said to my father David, 'Whereas it was in your heart to build a temple for my name, you did well that it was in your heart. But nevertheless, you shall not build the temple, David, but your son who will come from your own body, he shall build the temple for my name.'" So the Lord has fulfilled his what, everybody? Word. So if you will, there's the W in WWPF right there. There's the word. "And I have filled the position of my father David and sit on the throne of Israel, as the Lord promised, and I have built a temple for the name of the Lord God of Israel, and there I have made a place in which is the covenant of the Lord, which he made with our fathers when he brought them up out of the land of Egypt." He's basically saying it was in David's heart to build it, but God did not give him a green light. Is it okay for God to give a red light to whoever he wants? Is it okay for God to give a green light to whoever he wants? I love it when I get green lights, and I hate it when I get red lights. I really hate it when I get a red light and one of you all gets a green light. What about him? What about her? And there's something about that. Red light, green light. What did David do with his red light concerning the building of the temple? Did he mope and pout? He used all of what he could do to bring the resources together. At the stop sign of God for us, what do I do? Do I pout or do I prepare? When God gives me a red light, do I sit firmly in my chair and cross my arms and say, okay, God, I'm being obedient? Or do I say, Lord, I am being obedient. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to prepare. I'm going to study my Bible. I'm going to pray. I'm going to serve wherever I can. I'm going to gather and I'm going to prepare for someone else, maybe who does have their green light. The stop sign of the Lord is, number one, for our own protection. You remember what he says? I will never lead you into a situation that's over your head. When we have it in our heart to do A, B, C, and God gives us a red light, it might be God's protection. You're not ready, loved one. Yes, I am. You're not patient enough. And two, it might be that God is preparing you. You know who else he's preparing? Whoever else is on the receiving end or partnering with you in that understanding. For you singles in the crowd, that's a tough one. Remember how God did it? He said, you know what? It's not good for Adam to be alone. I know what I'll do. I'll make a helper suitable for him. Hey, Adam. Yes, Lord. Could you do me a big favor? Absolutely. Can you name all the creatures that I've created? Oh, that'd be great. Okay. And God brings them. Okay. Mr. and Mrs. Owl, Mr. and Mrs. Giraffe, Mr. and Mrs. Rhinoceros, Mr. and Mrs. Hippopotamus, Mr. and Mrs. Fruit Fly. And then the Bible says, and there was no what? One found for Adam. And Adam's all, wait a minute. Ding! Hey, Lord, there's no one else like me. Now does Adam know what God knows? Adam says, oh, I get it. You wanted me to find a partner. Thanks, Lord. Got it. I'll take it from here. Pew! And then he got right on eHarmony.com or FarmersOnly.com. AdamOnly.com. He had to swipe a lot. Giraffes, no. Hippopotamuses, no. He'd have found somebody, but it'd have been hairy and smelly. Singles, quick question for you. Penetrating inquiry. When Adam finally realized that he himself had a need, and he himself realized there's someone that I want to be connected to, what was the dating pool like? There was nobody. So instead of going on eHarmony.com and AdamOnly.com, you know what he did? He went to sleep. And I get it. There are counselors and all kinds of different people. And if you are in the Christian type sites, I get it. That expert people are trying to take your profile and they're trying to match that up with another profile that apparently is a good fit for you. And it very well might be. I'm not going to discount it. But when you get done filling out your thing, this is who I am. The Bible says, the heart of man is exceedingly wicked and deceitful above all things. Who can know it? It's a rhetorical question. Not even you. This is who I am. You can almost hear the Lord going, oh, really? And this is who I want. The Bible says there's a way that looks right to a man. But the end thereof is eHarmony.com round two. I'm not saying necessarily don't go there. I'm saying before you fill all that stuff out, can you give God his full time and opportunity? But Lord, you know, I looked around our church and there's slim pickings. What was the pickings like for Adam when he got started? And God brought her to Adam. And you know what Adam said, right? Whoa, man. No, he didn't say that. Praise God when the green light comes. But sometimes when the red light shows, instead of pouting, singles, I don't know why I'm going there tonight, but singles, what are you doing to prepare? Young men, if that's your heart, what are you doing to get your vocation ready? Your training, if that's needed or necessary, your college education, perhaps, whatever it might be. What are you doing to be able to say to a woman, I will take care of you. I will be the provider. Ladies, what are you doing to prepare? What are you doing to prepare? God told my father David, red light. If God gives you a red light, be like King David. Then gather and prepare and solidify and strengthen so that when the green light happens, off it goes. Verse 22, then Solomon stood before the altar of the Lord in the presence of all the assembly of Israel and spread out his hands towards heaven. And he said, Lord God of Israel, there is no God in heaven above or on earth below like you. You keep your covenant. This is the P portion of WWPF. This is the prayer stuff. You who keep your covenant and mercy with your servants who walk before you with all their hearts. Verse 24. You have kept what you promised your servant David, my father. You have both spoken with your mouth and fulfilled it with your hand as it is this day. Therefore, Lord God of Israel, now keep what you promised your servant David, my father, saying, you shall not fail to have a man sit before me on the throne of Israel. Verse 27. But will God indeed dwell on the earth? Solomon is saying, I get it. God is huge. In this little temple that I built him, I understand. Behold, heaven and earth cannot contain you. How much less this temple which I have built. Science alert. Hold your finger here and meet me in the book of Isaiah chapter 40. Solomon knows that God is huge and a small little house, impressive to the humans though it may be, to the Lord it's not that big a deal. Let me show you what I'm talking about. Isaiah chapter 40. Now look at verse 12. The same God who has measured the waters, if you will, the oceans, in the hollow of his hand, and he measures the heaven with the span from his thumb to his pinky finger, and calculated the dust of the earth in a measure, weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance. The universe, there it is. That is, of course, the Milky Way on a very clean and clear night. If you don't have a lot of outside light pollution, you can especially see it in the summer months. That little sort of smear that we see, a milky haze, was pretty much a Milky Way. And it wasn't until Galileo in about 1610, Galileo has his first telescope, and he was the one that distinguished it's not a smear or a Milky Way at all. It is a band of individual stars. For the longest of time, even up until about the 1920s, most of the smartest people on the planet were convinced that that was the discernible universe. And it wasn't until about the 1920s, Mr. Hubble, he got his exceptional skills and his great instrumentation, and he discerned, nope, that's just a galaxy. And you know what? There's a jillion other galaxies as well. Hit our go button. That's what our galaxy would look like on edge. It's like a plate, really, and we're sort of on the saucer portion of the plate. How big is the Milky Way? Oh, it depends on who you talk to, but it's probably about 120 to 150,000 light years across. So if you got on one edge on a rocket ship that could go the speed of light, it'd take you conservatively maybe 150 to 200,000 years to arrive at the other side. And we're not done yet. Go ahead. Here's looking down on the top. And if you have really good eyesight, you can see the little spirals. And there's reasons for that. We are on the Orion arm. You want to see where Earth is? Ready? Go ahead. We're right there. And I want you to notice as well, too, there's something called the Goldilocks zone. We live in what's termed the Goldilocks zone. And of course, even in our own solar system, you got the sun. Pluto's way too cold, you guys. Mercury's way too hot. And there's only one little spot, the Goldilocks zone, and here's where we live. Wasn't that fortuitous and lucky? Anyway, let's do some more looking. Go ahead. There's our Milky Way galaxy, and those are all the other galaxies that are nearby. The other spiral galaxy that's in our neighborhood, that's Andromeda. If you want to book a flight there, that's 2.5 million light years away. Hit our go button. How big is God, you guys? I just showed you two major galaxies, and how many galaxies are there? Billions! Huge is the universe beyond comprehension. And the Bible says God's got it right there in the span of his hand. God is huge. Let's go the other direction. This is Switzerland, and you see the big circle on the top? That's the CERN Research Center. That's the Large Hadron Collider that took them many, many years to build, billions and billions of dollars. At any given time, usually there are a couple hundred of Earth's smartest humans are there. Look at the size of the airport there below it, and that airport can land the largest aircraft on the planet. If you were to take a bicycle and go around that circle, that'd take you 17 miles. What is a collider or an atom smasher? You take an atom, and an atom usually has a nucleus, and then it has protons and neutrons in the middle. And then on the outside, it has electrons that fly around. And the strong force keeps the electron from flying off at a tangent, and then there's a weak force that is spitting out little pieces of atom called radiation. The neutron has no charge to it, but the proton does, and it's positively charged. Then, through the magic of science, we take another little proton, and we change his charge from positive to negative. So then he's surfing in the opposite direction. As you get him going, then you smash them together. If he's going this direction, approaching the speed of light, and the other proton is moving in the other direction, approaching the speed of light, if you can smash them together, the energy that they smash together with is truly phenomenal. Atom smashers used to fit more or less on the top of a table, and then they made them bigger and bigger and bigger, and Fermilab in Chicago, I think it is, had the biggest one for a long time, and then the European scientists got together and said, we're going to build the biggest one on the planet. 17 miles around, buried on average 300 feet under the ground, perfectly leveled. I'll go to our next picture. There's 17 miles of that, you guys. Now, what is the blue thing there? That is more or less a superconductive magnetic electromagnet. Liquid nitrogen flows through and cools the pathway, if you will, near absolute zero, so that no energy is lost to resistance. Is anybody asleep yet? All right. And because of that, we can get these protons surfing, zoom in that direction, and zoom in this direction. Hit the go button. There are seven of these. You see the huge donut-looking circle? Those are some of the most powerful electromagnets on the planet. They hit this field with such severe, huge magnetic fields that right when the protons do smash into each other, what flies apart, some of them will veer off to one side, and they know the direction of the field, so they know that this must be a positive charge. If it veers off to the left, it must be a negative charge. If one of the pieces that flies out goes straight through, unaffected by the field, it must be a neutral. You want to know how big these are? See if you can find the human in that picture. There he is right there. How huge is that? This is truly one of the greatest mechanisms humans have ever constructed. When they do get this thing rolling, they get pictures that look like this. Go ahead. There's the impact point there in the direct center. This has been computer enhanced. This is so small, you guys. These particles that are falling out are subatomic particles. When they put this together, what they were largely looking at, they knew about elements. They knew about molecules. Everybody knows about that. What are molecules made up of? Atoms. Cool. What are atoms made up of? Protons, neutrons, and electrons. Cool. What are they made up of? Oh, that's when they started smashing them together and see what falls out. Look at that. Mesons and leptons. A magnetic field is really electrons doing some things. And so a subatomic particle, an electron, is responsible largely for electricity and magnetism. Cool. What about gravity? There are some peculiarities to gravity. Maybe it's particles in a field. Peter Higgs of the University of Edinburgh in the 60s said, "I believe that there is a field that actually does exist." He called his little particles bosons. So he theorized them in mathematics in the 60s, but it wasn't until the year 2000 and later that we built the Large Hadron Collider largely with this in mind. We smash them together with such velocity and such energy that we'll spot a Higgs boson. You don't really spot them. You sort of see a little trail that they leave behind. And they only last for hundreds of thousandths of a second. But on July the 4th, 2012, they got one. So, join me in Colossians, New Testament, the book of Colossians, chapter 1. How big is God, you guys? That hugeness of the universe, billions of galaxies. The Bible says that's in the span of his hand. Let's go the other direction. How small is God? Chapter 1, 16. By him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on the earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions, principalities or powers. Now here's where the physics comes into the Bible. Peter Higgs, Professor Peter Higgs, who won the Nobel Prize in 2013 for his postulation, something was holding the fabric of matter together. And we'll know it if we spot one of the little particles racing around doing its job. A Higgs boson. There really is something holding the whole thing together. And they found one. Now Colossians. And in him all things consist. I think that the translators paused at this point, scratching their head. Bizarre little word here. Because it really means he holds all things together. It took humans to the year 2012 to finally substantiate what God's word has said the whole time. Now back to Kings. How big is God? He's outside of all creation. Billions of galaxies? And in one galaxy alone, one spiral galaxy like the Milky Way, billions of stars?
You've been listening to the book of 1 Kings with Pastor Steve Hadley of Harvest Family Fellowship in Reno. We hope these Old Testament truths have been helpful models of just how powerfully God works right now in the life and ministry of every believer. If you missed any of today's message or would like to hear it in its full, unedited format, you can watch this or any of Pastor Steve's teachings at our website. Just visit us at harvestreno.org. That's www.harvestreno.org. Come join us Sundays at 10:30 and Wednesday evenings at 6:30. Harvest is located at 350 South Rock Boulevard in Reno. Until next time, Pastor Steve encourages all of us to follow Acts 2:42 and Word, Worship, Prayer, and Fellowship every day. May the Lord bless you and keep you as we are washed by the water of the Word.